Praise God. Well, we talked about last week, it was last day of 2017, and we talked about guarding your heart, and I believe there's more there. We'll see how far we go. I seldom preach one message, just a one-off. You know, usually it's in a series, but there's more there that I want to cover, and we'll see, you know, how far we go, but I know that at least we're going to cover this today. So why don't you go ahead and turn with me over to Proverbs 4:20. A lot of times, you know, I'll get something, I believe we're supposed to go in a certain direction, and you know, lay it out, and I just get a little tiny fraction of it over out. And I just realize there's just so much more there, and then that's why we... And then we'll just stay on an area for an extended period of time. Like I said, I don't know how long we'll be on this. But in general, and if we don't need to be on it very long, we won't be. But, you know, we're not just playing church. You're not just, well, let's do a series to do a series or do one off to do a one off. It's to get our heart condition different, to change it. And sometimes that takes hitting something from different angles. You know, you didn't probably learn any kind of subject in school or on the job, you know, one time and that was it. And you got it and never had to go over it. A lot of times, you know, you go over things and you hit it from different ways. And that's the same way I've seen, you know, I know God works with me. And, you know, just camping on something. How many of you know you go out, you may get something in the service, but then you go out into the world. And there's distractions and stuff. And by the time you come back to church, you know you had something. But, you know, what was it that I heard? And then to hear it again or something similar and in the same vein, it starts to get established in your life to where it starts actually affecting your behavior, affecting your mind, affecting the outcomes. And that's what we want. Then it can get to where it's part of you. Now, and I've seen this too. You think you can go on something for 6, 7, 8, 12 weeks and it's party, but over time, we have a tendency to revert if we don't stay on certain things. Then that's a good time. If something really blessed you the first time you heard it, I mean, it might not be the first time you ever heard that thing, but if like a series blessed you, pull it out. That's why they're on the website and go back over it again. Because if something really had an effect on your life, you may want to pull it out in a year and go over. I've done that with series. There's certain things that, man, just go over it again. And you're in a different place. So you see it differently than when you heard it the first time. And now you had different experience, and you come up. And so if we just yield to God, I mean, he brings us up little by little. But let's look at Proverbs 4:20. We'll read it in the New King James, and then we'll look at some verses in the New Living Translation. It says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings." Now, we could just stop right here. Yeah, we could preach on every bit of this, but look right here. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Well, give attention to my words. What does that give you the impression? You're supposed to be paying attention to what he said, but what does that mean? There's other stuff you could be paying attention to. He says, incline your ear to my sayings. Well, inclining your ear, that means in the direction I'm listening. If I'm inclining my ear to you, I'm listening to you. Well, that means I'm not listening to something else. Sometimes in a noisy environment, you need to incline your ear to somebody, right? You need like, what? Like you're on an airplane and there's stuff going on. What? I'm trying to focus on you because there's so much going on. I'm really trying to filter that out. Well, that's a pretty good picture of the way the world is, right? Exactly. There is so much noise. And if you think you're gonna skate through and there aren't gonna be temptations to look other ways, you have another thing coming. We live in a fallen world. We live in a curse-filled world. We're redeemed from the curse, but that is, the world's cursed. You can't tell that? There's a lot of stuff going on, and you got people that are yielding to the devil left and right. I didn't say they're demon-possessed. Some people are, but there's a lot of people that the world's the way the world is going, if people just yield to what they feel and hear and see around them, it's going in the wrong direction. We have to be really careful we're not doing that. It's easy. It's easy to do that. All you have to do is just wake up and go with the flow in the world. Because the world, by and large, is not going in a godly direction. Is that news to anybody?
No.
So if you don't do something to resist that, you'll just go in that same flow. And you may think, well, everybody's doing it. Yeah, and they're all going down the wrong way. Not everybody. But the general flow is not just going toward godliness. If you just let people go and they don't purposefully resist the things of this world and their flesh, you know, unrenewed minds, they're going to drift in the wrong direction. We know this. If you let yourself go and don't discipline yourself in any way in what you eat, what you look at, your default state, the way your flesh wants to go, is not toward godliness. You have to train your flesh. Now, it'll do whatever you tell it to do, but you just let it go, it's not going to end up godly. Is that news to anybody? In other words, you don't eat the things that you by default, unless you've been trained, the things that you're going to eat, if you don't discipline yourself, are not the things that are best for you. Same things that you're going to take in on the TV, or even watching TV, or you're going to listen to. The world just does whatever it feels like doing. And this is taught, well, just do what you feel like. We have a whole lot of that junk going on now. Well, you think it, you feel it, so it must be okay for you. No. There's a standard. There is a God. There are absolutes. And you have to push against the nonsense that's in the world. The curse, the enemy. The enemy comes to steal and kill and destroy. He wants to take people down. And he's taken a lot of people down, and they don't even realize it because everybody around them is doing the same thing. Well, that's no indication you're doing the right thing just because everybody's doing it. You know, my pastor in Lincoln used to give this example. And, you know, if the world's starting out here, okay, and just go back. You know, I can't go back into the early 1900s. I mean, you know, I wasn't born in the 40s, 50s, 60s. But if you look, even before that, you look at the state of the culture and what was considered right and wrong generally, okay, it was here. But as you go, it starts to drift. Okay, but if you look around, if you look around, all the people are going in the same direction. They're doing the same thing, so you can't see the change. You know, whether you want to go to the right or the left, whatever is right. Whatever's left. I don't know if left or right is good. We're drifting right. That could be good. That could be bad. But let's just go this way. If you're drifting to the wrong way, right? So let's say you're here. And a little bit later, the country's here. The people around you are here. Well, everybody looks around and goes, I'm okay. And then it drifts a little bit further. And everybody looks around and goes, I'm okay. And they just keep going. I'm okay. Well, pretty soon, if this group wakes up and compares it to where you were, it's a drastic change. But it happens a little bit at a time. So that's what's going on. Look back 10 years. I mean, look back 20 years, 1998. The mentality was different. Certain things were not said and not accepted like they are now. But you just look back now, but it's been gradual. And I mean, it hasn't even been gradual the last 10 years. It's like it's, you know, accelerated. And all of a sudden, you look up and it's like what people are saying and doing. Well, you know, this isn't the first time. There was a flood.
Yeah.
This isn't the worst it's ever been. God had to wipe out the whole world. He said he would never do it again by water. Just a hint. It's not going to happen like that again. So people are telling you everything's going to melt and it's all going to be water. The Bible says different. Just a thought. But we know the Bible, we know the world is going to be burned up at some point. But it was bad. Noah and his wife and his three sons and their three wives, that was it. Everybody else, the Bible said, their thoughts were bad continually. That's pretty bad. And look at Sodom and Gomorrah. Wiped out. That did happen. It was destroyed. So it was really bad. So it's been really bad before. We're not quite there, but it's going in the wrong direction for a lot of people. So if you just look around and go, everybody else is doing it. If you looked back 20 years, they weren't doing it. Or some people were doing stuff, but it wasn't just broadcast as if it's okay and thrown in people's faces. Well, this is, no, it's just godless. But it's getting brazen. Okay. So if we're going to be in this environment and actually still follow after God and grow more godly, because I don't know about you, but that's my goal, is to become more like Jesus every day.
Amen.
Okay? We all have flesh, we all have mind, we're all moving forward, we're all at different places, but if you don't have the goal to get better, you by default will get worse. You can't stay the same. You won't stay the same. If you say, I'm just going to stay here, you will drift the wrong way. But if you have the goal that I'm going further, well, is that going to happen automatically?
No.
Is that going to happen by just doing what everybody that you see around you does? Not unless everybody around you is godly. You got to be out. We're not supposed to isolate ourselves. And we're not getting into that per se today, but the Bible says, at one place, they're saying, don't you keep company with all these types of people. He goes, now, I certainly wasn't meaning other people of the world, otherwise you'd have to go out of the world. He was talking about that shouldn't be named in the church. But just to rub shoulders with all these things we're talking about, the godlessness, the immoral behavior, we're supposed to be, now they shouldn't be your best friends, but you should be rubbing shoulders with the world because we're the light of the world. We're not supposed to isolate ourselves. Newsflash. We are the light and the salt of the world as Christians. We're not supposed to just isolate ourselves. Well, I am only going to be with good, godly people. You ought to fellowship and spend the majority of your time around good, godly people, but we need to talk to people that aren't following God. Now, they may not change, but you're a light. You're a witness. And God is just, and God will give every person an opportunity. Nobody is going to stand before the throne and say, it wasn't fair, I didn't know. Everybody has to act on what they see and know, and if they act on that, they'll get more. God is just. But we're part of that. But no, we're not supposed to isolate ourselves, but you're going to be around stuff that's not good. If you're in the world, we're supposed to be a witness. Witness to what? To witness to the fact that Jesus is alive, that there is a God, and that he's done something for us. Nobody can take your testimony away from you. You can argue and you can debate logic, but when you have changed and your life has changed, people can argue all they want, but you have that. I know you can say it's coincidence or whatever, but you know where you were, you know what happened with God's word, and you know where you are now. And so nobody can take that away from you. Well, people need to know that. But this isn't going to happen just automatically is what we're saying. Verse 20, go ahead and put verse 20 up again. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Well, there are a whole lot of words in the world. And we have access to more words than ever. And access to more sayings than ever. You can find information about anything you want to find information about. And you can spend many, many hours looking at anything your heart desires to find out about. I mean, the most obscure hobbies or interests have websites and probably communities, and you can not only find out about it, you can talk to other people that like to talk about it and look about it, right? And you can get on news groups or whatever. You can just, any kind of these interactions, you can talk about any kind of certain thing probably 24/7 in most cases, and if it's really obscure, maybe, you know, half that. You find somebody that has the same interest. So we have access to all kinds of stuff. That's not necessarily a good thing, because there's a whole lot of distraction. And you know as well as I do, the way you get on the internet and different websites, you start out reading one thing, and then there's a link to another thing that's, like, you know, close to it, and you can just spend hours. You look up, and that time's gone. Well, if that's what you wanted to do, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with spending a certain amount of time researching and everything. But there's also a temptation that you end up where you didn't want to end up, and you didn't want to spend all that time, and you end up just being sidetracked because there are so many sayings, there's so many words, and there's just noise. So you have to purposely, what does it say? Give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Now, we're talking about God. Go to the next verse, please. It says, do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Go to the next verse. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Verse 23, this is what I wanted to focus on, but we may go back through some of this. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Now, it says keep your heart with all diligence. That goes along right with what we were just saying in the 20th verse. You have to incline your ear. You have to give attention. Here it says you need to do it diligently. What does that mean? You have to stay on top of it. Because if you don't, there are so many things that are going to try to pull you off. Let me just tell you a fact. In 2018, you will be tempted to be pulled off the Word of God. And I don't care how strong He told you something coming in. Did you hear me? You may think, I heard something, God spoke to my heart, God spoke to me through the Word, I am different. Well, you may be different, but you don't stay different unless you put diligence on it. Unless you try and put some effort to stay there. I don't care how strong God spoke to you, if you don't maintain that and stay on top of it and focus on what He said, you will drift. Now, that's not a bad confession. That's not something negative. That's the fact, because we are surrounded, like we said, with all kinds of other noise. And you have to, on purpose, intentionally focus on what He said in His Word and what He spoke to you specifically. You have to push the other stuff back. Otherwise, you will end up in a different place than where you wanted to. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Out of your heart spring the issues of life. Out of your heart, the very issues that you live on that determine where you end up are coming from your heart. So you need to stay and keep your heart. Can you put that same verse, verse 23, up in the New Living Translation? It says, guard your heart. Now, that's what we said last time. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. How is that strong?
Yes.
Guard your heart, you know, if you feel like it sometime, but if there, we all know other stuff comes up, and you know, that's okay. Is that the impression you get?
No.
It says guard it above what? All else. Is this critical?
Yes.
And he tells you right after that why it's critical. For it determines the course of your life. Where you end up in 10 years, 20 years, 40 years, 50 years is determined by what you do right here with your heart. And the Bible says guard it. Keep it. Diligently. We stay on top of it. Guard it from what? All this other junk. Because it's there. Where we're headed. We're all headed in a certain direction right now. Well, if it's the right direction, we need to guard it, and we want to get stronger in what God has said, what He said to us personally, what He said in His Word. We want to be stronger in what we know about the Word. Because when you know the Word, you won't be duped. You won't be deceived. Somebody will come selling something. I mean, figuratively, you read something, you know, some article, and alarms will go off on the inside because you just say, that contradicts this scripture, and this scripture. I don't care if it's a new thing. It's wrong, and it will be proven so in a matter of time. I'm staying away from it. You can cut out all kinds of heartache, all kinds of wasted time. We don't have time to spend it trying everybody else's new idea. Number one, a lot of that new ideas are just repackaged forms of something that came through before. Number two, the stuff that even if it is seems like a new discovery, if it contradicts the Word in any way, throw it out, because it will be proven to be wrong over a matter of time. I don't care how many people jump on the bandwagon. I don't care how good the effects look now. There is a problem with it if it contradicts the Word. How many things have there been like this? People jump on it and think it looks good, but then, you know, 25 years down the line, people find out, but it has this fatal side effect. But it was... it was the Holy Grail. It was the answer. Just didn't know about this one thing or these things, which unfortunately proved fatal. So we guard our hearts. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Now let's go over to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 6. Why don't you just look on your sheet there? So much more we could say on some of these verses, and I believe, well, we'll see. You know, we're going with the flow here, and we'll see if we come back to some of. There's a lot we could say, but I have specific things. I think we need to get to Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be where? In your heart. And notice, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Do you have that? Can you put that up in the NLT? I know I didn't ask you to, but can you just go over to those same verses? Got it? It says, "Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength." I just want to, this other part will maybe a little bit more clear just in the modern language. "And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road." You could say when you're in the car, you know, when you're going to music lessons or going to other activities or sports, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. "Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." What's the message? You are focused on what God said. They are part of your life. They're not a little part of your life. They're not Sunday. They're not Wednesday. They're not just one part. They are permeating your life. Well, we're talking about fanatics here, right? No, this is how God told Israel, you need to do this. And they didn't have half the distractions we have. Not even half. Look at the world then versus now. This is centered on Him. This is giving us a glimpse into how to guard your heart. Go over to Mark 12. Let's look at what Jesus said here about these same verses. Mark 12, verse 28. Let's just look at it on your sheet. "Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, 'Which is the first commandment of all?' Jesus answered him, 'The first commandment is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first commandment, and the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" This is what Jesus said. This is the first commandment, and it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. With your being, you'll love God." Jesus said, "This is above all else." And notice, right after he said that, he said, "And the second one's like it, you'll love your neighbor as yourself." A lot of people are trying to love their neighbor, but they don't focus on God, and they don't focus on keeping their heart. It's impossible to love your neighbor without doing that. That's why it's hard. You can't love like God loves, because the love that we're supposed to love other people with is the agape, the Greek words agape, love, the God kind of love, and that only comes from, guess what, God. It's His love. You don't have that love on the inside of you, you're not going to be able to love. Now, as a Christian, the Bible says the love of God in Romans 5:5 has been poured out in our hearts. But if you're not feeding on it, not focusing it on it, you're not going to be able to act on it. And if you're not keeping your heart and you're strong, you're going to have a real hard time loving somebody else because you're too busy taking care of your stuff. I don't have time to mess with you. Don't you realize I have this other stuff? Why? Because you're fretting, you're worried, you're upset. Why? Because your heart is not kept. And if you can't keep your heart, if we can't keep our hearts, I don't care about you. I don't have time for you. And I'm short-tempered with you. And I don't want to deal with your junk and your problems and your habits because I have my hands full dealing with me. Right? As human beings. So Jesus said, what's the number one thing? You look at God and you focus on Him. and you do what it takes to guard your heart. You immerse yourselves in him. Look real quick. Can you put up Exodus 20, verse 1? It's on your sheet there too. God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. This is the first commandment of the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall have no other gods before me. There is nothing before him. We'll come back to that probably. But just look real quickly. I didn't put this on your sheet for the sake of space, but these are the Ten Commandments. So this is the first one. There's a reason why this is number one. Go ahead and look at the let's fly through them. But look at all the other stuff. People will focus on this other stuff, but doing this one right here is what enables you to do all the other stuff. Notice, what we just read back in Deuteronomy, he said the first thing was, you shall love the Lord your God. Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God. That's the first thing. Here, you have no other gods before me. Well, you're going to put him first. Everything else flows from this. This determines what we do with our heart, and what we focus on is going to determine where we end up. Go real quick. Next one, verse 4. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, that is in earth beneath, that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. Now stop right there. You shall not bow down to them and serve them. People think we're, and I mentioned this sometimes in the past, people think we're past idols. No, they just don't look like this. They're not just a graven, you know, little image that people put up, but people have idols left and right in their lives. What's an idol? Something you put in front of God. Anything that keeps you from giving him your whole heart, anything that keeps you from doing what he's told you to do, it's an idol. We can name any number of things. All the stuff we said earlier, you could find a website about any number of things. A lot of those things can become idols. They're not bad in and of themselves. But if they take the place of God, that's bad. Well, I have to do such and such. I don't have time for God. That's bad. I can't be at such and such. I can't do that because I have this. Well, that means that's more important than him. And what did we say about keeping our heart? It'll determine the course of our lives. And what is your heart supposed to be focused on? God. Remember what he said in Deuteronomy? You put this everywhere in your house. You talk about it in the morning. You talk about it at night. You talk about when you're going to bed. Talk about when you're waking up. You talk about it in the car. You tell your kids. You talk to your wife. You talk to your husband. This is what you focus on. Then these other things start falling into place. Go ahead real quick. I said we're going through this, so let's go through this real quick. But showing mercy to the thousands, those who keep me and keep my commandments. Keep going. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. I'm not going to preach on each one of these, but these things start happening automatically when your heart is full of God. Amen. You know, people are looking and go, oh, darn it, I said that again, I can't say that. If you're focusing on God all the time and you love him and you're worshiping on it, you're not going to even do this. You don't have to focus on this. Don't focus on this. Focus on just loving him and surrounding yourself with him. Keep going. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. This is one of the reasons God put this in. Stop doing all the other junk and just focus on him. That way, even if the pressure gets so great, there's a break to reset. You know, I'm a software engineer. And you don't have to be a software engineer to know this. If you have a desktop computer or even a device, what we used to say was, you know, when in doubt, reboot. You don't know what's going on. Restart the thing, and it clears out half the junk, and it starts working. Well, God knew this. And when you have so much pressure that it just seems like there's task after task and work's piling up and whatever, when you have a hard stop, there's silence. And now you can get your mind back on Him and your heart back on Him. Regardless, that's why He put this here. Let's keep going. I'm not trying to dive into all this. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. So God just say, I just want to control them. I want them not to do anything during these days legalistically. No, this is the reason. He wants us. This keeps other things from getting in the way. Keep going. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Keep going. Honor your father and your mother that the days that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. Need to talk about this one? I mean, if you're full of God, people don't kill somebody when they're meditating on God. This is somebody, you know, you've been far from it. But this stuff, you know, we laugh, but hey, it all starts back up. You know, people are looking to God. They're never going to even get near this. Go to the next verse. You shall not commit adultery. Same thing. All these things start with the seed, and we cut them off when we look to Him. Keep going. Verse 16. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You won't lie. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, nor shall you covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor. You say, I don't want my neighbor's donkey. Yeah, but what about his car or his house? You know, I mean, his furnishings. Next one. Now all the people witness. Okay, so this goes on, but I just want to fly over that. The number one commandment, again, is don't you have anything before God? Now, we are not beyond this. Praise God. Seeing which way we ought to go here. Hallelujah. Let's go over. We'll see, you know, we're going to go in a direction. We're probably going to touch back on some of these things, but go over. Let's go ahead and turn there. But 2 Corinthians. Praise God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Look at 2 Corinthians, we'll go to 11. Now let's go to 1 verse first. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 12. It says, for our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God and more abundantly toward you. For we are not writing any other things to you other than what you read or understand. Now I trust that you understand. Even to then, as also you have understood in part, that we are your boast, as you are also ours, in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now, I want to focus on that first verse, and we're going to read this other verse in Corinthians 2. But it says, for our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God and more abundantly toward you. Now, there is so much here. I want to point out to you in the middle of verse 12. He said that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God more abundantly toward you. Now we're going to just start in some of these things. We'll see how far we get, but you know, we're just going step by step here. But that word simplicity, the word simplicity there, well, I'll read you the definition of simplicity. We're going to go into this a little bit. This has a lot to do with what we're talking about and guarding your heart. So the definition of simplicity is, now these are all just, you know, Merriam-Webster definitions, and you can see how these things are being used. There's a lot of different definitions, but these words here you can see. I'll mention something here in a minute about what that says as far as what it's talking about here in these scriptures. But simplicity is the state of being simple, uncomplicated, uncompounded. Simplicity is the state of being simple, uncomplicated, or uncompounded. Now, the state of being simple. So what does simple mean? And we have a lot of things that pop to our head when we talk about simple. Now, there's all kinds of things here, but simple, you know, we may have things like this, innocent. Or there's another meaning, free from vanity. In other words, modest. You know, free from display, like a simple outfit. We could think of like this one says, of humble origin or modest position, a simple farmer. Lacking in knowledge or expertise, a simple amateur of the arts. And then, of course, there's another definition, means stupid. You're simple. Well, that's one definition, but that's not what we're talking about. And there's a lot of other things that are similar to that I don't really want to get into. Like readily understood or performed, like you have simple directions, some adjustment was simple to make. But the thing that I want to focus on here, and then we'll talk about a few other things, is this one this is really the heart of what I want to get across here. That means unmixed, pure, sheer, like simple honesty. Free of secondary complications, a simple, like this says, a simple vitamin deficiency. Having only one main clause, no subordinate clauses, like a simple sentence. Straightforward. Clean. Pure. Now, in the margin of my Bible, and this was years ago. I don't know exactly when it was, but I was just reading this verse. And the margin of my Bible says this, and it really impacted me. And I saw things differently. Where it says, for our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity. For simplicity, it says, I have a little note, and it says it's the opposite of duplicity. Simplicity is the opposite of duplicity. Duplicity, what's duplicity? contradictory doubleness of thought, speech, or action. The simplicity and openness of their lives brought out for him the duplicity that lay at the bottom of ours. That's a quote. The quality or state of being double or twofold. Belying one's true intentions by deceptive words or action is another. But the thing I want to focus on is that it's the state of being double or twofold. Two. Multi. Focused on more. What does twofold mean? I mean, we know this, but having two aspects, two parts or aspects, being twice or great, or as many. The idea I want to get over to you is that Paul's saying there was simplicity. We conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, which is not, it's the opposite of being, of having duplicity. It is straightforward, pure. And he is referring to this here. They were not deceptive in any way. He is referring to that. They weren't saying one and doing another to get people. To do something. But the idea I want to get over to you is it's also focused. It's also pure. It's also single-minded. And what we think so many times of simple is the connotation, like some of these other things we had, is it's unsophisticated, which could be unsophisticated, you know, not complicated, but in the sense that you just don't know. I mean, it's just you're simple, and that has been pushed back a lot in our society. And this is not a mistake. Christians have been made and portrayed in television shows, in media. The Christian in certain areas has been made to look like the person that's ignorant, uneducated, very, maybe straightforward, but it's because they just don't know any better. They haven't been exposed to anything else. So they're just, they're simple. Simple folk. Do I exaggerate?
No.
And there is a tendency then, we don't want to be that guy, or that gal, or that family. Because they're just, yeah, they're nice people, but, you know, they're simple. They just don't know stuff about the real world. Right? But godliness, let me bring you back to some of the things we read. They're pretty simple. God said, have no other God before me. And you love him. You love God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your might, with all your strength. You focus on him in the morning, at night, all through the day. You should be talking about him with your kids. You should be talking about him in the car. You should have things around the house that remind you of him. And there is a simplicity that is focused on God and not all this other junk that brings strength and an incorruptibleness to your life. Now, we are talking about guarding our heart. When you purge out this other junk and you become, your life is marked by a simplicity. You are guarding your heart from all the other junk that will corrupt it. And people have thought, well, because of the things we just referred to, well, I have to know about all these other things because, you know, I got to be in the know. Now, I'm not against, we're not saying, the Bible's not saying to be ignorant.
Of course.
But there is a tactic going on here. When things get complicated, when they become double, when they become distracted, when you can't just focus on God, but you know you got to do all these other things, that's a problem. And simplicity, what God spoke to my heart was when it's the opposite of duplicity, what it spoke to me is being focused on the core important things in life, on Him, on keeping yourself up, on keeping your relationships up, on doing the important stuff at the, you put out the other stuff. You are focused. You're not double. You're not looking here and trying to straddle with the world and God. You are all in with Him. And there's a solidity and strength that comes with that too, because the Bible says to focus on Him. Now go over to verse 1 Corinthians, or sorry, just further back in 2 Corinthians, verse or chapter 11, 2 Corinthians 11, and we'll wrap this up for today. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1. It says, "Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy." Now we read, God is jealous. It's not okay for you to be with Him and in other stuff at the expense of your relationship with Him. "For I have betrothed to you to one husband, that I may present to you a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear," now look at this, "I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." "For he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you have a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." Verse 3, and this hit me. This is the word of God. I'm just telling you, this hit me personally. God revealed some things to me about this several years ago along these lines. Concerning simplicity, and it's a tactic to get for us to get out of it. "But I fear lest somehow," verse 3, "as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted." You know what corrupted means? Something is clean and pure. When you talk about, again, computer file, when you say it's corrupted, what does that mean? It's messed up. It's got spottiness in it, so it doesn't work properly. The format, if we say it's corrupted, that means there's pieces in there that shouldn't be in there. It does not work. "That your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." You know, we're supposed to be like that. We're supposed to be focused, and without certain things, the enemy would try to get us out of it. The enemy tries to get us distracted with all these other things. Get us into different things. You don't need to go in all that. I mean, that's fanatical. Well, I'm telling you, if we're living by the Word of God, we will look fanatical to the world's standards. I didn't say weird. But there are all kinds of people that are into all different things. There's no apology made, because that's just what they do. They're into it. But if you're like with God, now you may be weird. You may be one of those simple people. Weird folk, you just don't know. No, that's a deception. That's on purpose to make it look like that. Now, I'm not talking about weird. I'm not talking about you can't relate to anybody. I'm saying you can relate fine to other people. It's just when you talk about your core and your home and your thoughts, it is solid on God. And you go talk to other people, you can talk with them. You can converse with them. You can relate to them. But you don't get in, this is a lie. You don't get into junk you shouldn't be in so that you can relate to other people. That's a lie. "Well, I need to look. I need to be up on these TV shows because I have to be able to talk to somebody." You don't need to be putting perversion and filth into your mind and having to deal with the consequences so you can have a conversation with somebody at work. Amen. That's deception. We can be clean of all that, and you can still have a conversation. It's just not about that trash. It's about real stuff. You don't have to be weird about it, but inside, you don't let that junk permeate your center and where you live and your family, and you are solid in that, and you're not then deceived, just like it's talking about here. Satan would love us to get his fingers into some, get us into some of these things. Why? We can easily be pushed around. But if we're not corrupted, if we're pure, we become much harder to move. And what do we say? If we guard our heart, that determines the direction of our life. But we have to put up a perimeter. I don't believe this last time we're going to talk about this. I believe we'll get in more. But praise God. He's helping us. Amen.